Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What I do know is that Brandon Adams is with us, as he always is, at 120. And I look, obviously Saturday night was nuts. It was a crazy fun game to watch, certainly frustrating for Georgia fans. I wonder now, a couple days later, like how do you slice it up? Because parts of it were horrible. And then there was a comeback, which was great, but they also lost the game. Like, how are you stacking it all up with a few days to think about it?
Well, first of all, it's great to be with you guys as always. And for those who wanted a more humble version of me after a few years of coming on here and saying a lot of stuff, a lot of talk.
Well, it was all true, though. You hadn't been wrong.
Today is probably that day. But in all seriousness, you know, for me, I think that the comeback, the sense that I get is that's probably more impressive to, like, say, neutral observers or more objective, observers to the game. Not to say that it wasn't good if you're a Georgia fan. I just don't know how much I actually bought it, because to be completely honest with you, on a per play basis, even during the comeback, I don't know that Georgia was playing an amazing brand of football. And obviously all of that was just a little bit too little too late after creating a huge deficit to begin the game. So in terms of the conversation that I'm having, you know, a portion of that is, gosh, can you believe they took the lead after all that? There's a small portion that kind of centers on that, but most of it is kind of about the idea of, man, Georgia had been plagued by slow starts. The prevailing wisdom was, if that happens against a really good team, you could be in trouble. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened again on Saturday. And, of course, the deficit to begin the game made winning it ultimately impossible.
What was your biggest shocker of that whole game, though, B.A.? Was it the slow start? Or, I mean, mine was definitely the fact is that they gave up 30 points in the first half.
Yeah. I mean, look, Georgia played a brand of defense in 2021 that may not be matched by anybody again. That was truly a special defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, the total number of, like, first-round picks or NFL starters that, you know, kind of played on that defense is obviously an unbelievable number. And right now, that's not what Georgia is. Now, maybe no one will be at that level again. Maybe Georgia will never be at that level again. But right now, that's not what they are. They're a team that sort of plays a little bit like everybody in college football, where, you know, they're going to give some stuff up. They're going to try to, you know, score their own points to kind of manage that. Like, Saturday night sort of looked like the kind of game that any team in college football was capable of playing. And now Georgia, even if they still are among the best teams in the country, they clearly are, and they could still be the best team in the country by the time the season ends, they're playing a brand of football right now that really isn't all that, you know, distinguishable from what everybody else plays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, noticing that on defense, I think they're just not right now special on that side of the ball. And that's obviously a huge difference where they have been.
I think the same can be said at certain spots on offense too, right? Like, if you're going to play the same brand of football that the elite teams are playing, it helps to have elite players on that side of the ball. And obviously, Georgia was able to do what they did the last handful of years with great defense when a lot of teams were going great offense because they had all those first-rounders on defense and get away with maybe not having a first-round quarterback, whatever. But if you're going to go the direction of the rest of college football, you need to have one of those superstars. Jalen Milroe is a superstar. I mean, it looks like other of the top teams in college football kind of have guys. Do you feel like Georgia is good enough at some of the premier spots right now to compete? Obviously, they compete, but you know what I mean? Like, are they good enough at some of those premier spots?
Well, obviously, that's the huge difference to me is what I think of as the premium positions, the positions that most likely become first-round picks, quarterback, wide receiver, cornerback, edge rusher, you know, offensive tackle maybe. Those are the positions that become first-round picks. Alabama is better at what I think of at the premium positions than Georgia is here right now. And to kind of advance this further, you know, Georgia became a truly elite offense during its national championship era, and some of that seemed like the natural progression of a program on the rise. But it's also possibly true that that was also happened to be the period of time which Brock Bowers played for this program.
Definitely.
And so now with Bowers no longer here, it's not just a question of, okay, how do you replace Bowers? It's how do you prevent reverting back as a program on that side of the ball to what you were prior to Bowers, which in 2019, 2020, you know, Georgia really wasn't special on offense. But, you know, in 2020, they weren't even a championship contender for the most part. You know, they just didn't really score enough points to do that. In 2019, they certainly didn't. Well, Bowers comes, everything else changes. And now that we see the full extent of his career at Georgia, also what he's been able to do in his first year in the NFL, you realize this was an all-time great player. Mm-hmm. And how do you replicate some of the offensive stuff without this all-time great player? That's no small question to try to answer.
Brie, where do you put that first drop by Aaron Smith as far as the momentum part of the game?
I put it as huge. I mean, I think that, listen, right now Carson Beck is not playing particularly well. I'm not going to, like, you know, trash him or anything like that, but the fact of the matter is Beck is really struggling. Or actually, that's overstating it. Beck is not playing at an incredibly high level. Let me say it that way. But you do have to wonder, well, what if, you know, he threw a dime to Arian and Arian dropped it. What if he doesn't drop it? Is everything else in the game potentially different? You almost think it could be. And there's obviously a lot of teams, a lot of situations where they could maybe say the same thing, and maybe we don't remember those moments because it's not our team. But in this particular case, Beck threw that ball about as well as it could be thrown, and Arian just didn't catch it. And in the first drive, when Georgia seemed very intent on being as aggressive as it could be, obviously when you take a big shot like that and it doesn't work, well, clearly there are going to be some ramifications. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Georgia, some of the ramifications were running game got completely taken away once the deficit built, and Carson Beck's confidence may have been shaken because, like, the one really good throw he did make, you didn't get anything for it. So, I mean, I don't think we're overstating things to say that that play reverberated through more than just that one moment.
Brandon Adams joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Georgia football after Saturday night's game. Certainly looking forward to the game this weekend and the rest of the season as well. I know that the loss means something different because of the 12-team playoff, so that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, do you analyze the loss differently as someone who talks about the team every single day and thinks about the team every single day differently because of the 12-team playoff?
So this is one of those things where you have to kind of go on your hunch a little bit. And obviously over the course of – even last year when Georgia didn't win the national championship, it's like, okay, they lost to Alabama, but they essentially dominated everybody else. So you could make a case that, well, there's no reason to think they won't continue doing that this year too. Obviously, they blew out Clemson, and Clemson's played very well since getting blown out by Georgia. So maybe this is another year where they just lose to Alabama, they beat everybody else, and in a 12-team playoff world, that still sets you up for a pretty good season. However, my hunch is that it's not quite that right now, that Alabama exploited something that may exist for Georgia in games other than just Alabama. Go back to, Andy, something you said, you know, the lack of kind of special playmakers offensively, something that Randy said. Man, this defense right now give up a lot of points when we're not used to really seeing them give up anything. That some of the stuff I saw on Saturday, my hunch and my suspicion, it's about more than just the game against Alabama, which even in a 12-team playoff world, could eventually cause you some trouble because Georgia's going to have some big games coming up. And, you know, while right now, you know, certainly Saturday wasn't a must-win game, if you're not careful, you do put yourself in a must-win situation at some point in time this season. So the 12-team playoff creates more margin for error. But the way that Georgia played on Saturday makes you wonder how long Georgia can maintain that margin for error before eventually they do find themselves in a must-win situation.
What you think about the game this weekend, B.A.? I mean, you got an Auburn team coming off of a tough loss at home to Oklahoma, a very angry, bitter-ass dog team, South's deepest rivalry or whatever it's called. Still don't understand that one. But what do you think about this weekend, B.?
You know, I think that it's probably a pretty good opponent for Georgia because it's at least a rivalry game. Also, it's a little bit of an easier opponent because Auburn struggled a good bit this year, at least in terms of their final scores. They've had a lot of turnovers. It's also a game last year that Georgia probably didn't play very well against Auburn. So if they do play better this year, that's a comparison where you can say, okay, well, that's year over year, at least an example of the fact that Georgia's maybe still got a lot, you know, going for it. But it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, I'm not quite so sure that Georgia's ready to kind of come back home, beat this team by 50 points and show everybody that everything's fine, and the second half version of Georgia against Alabama, that's the real Georgia, and if they rematch against Alabama, then the Crimson Tide are going to be in trouble. Eventually, we may come to believe that to be true, but I don't quite know that Georgia's fully ready to show that this Saturday, although I'm still optimistic they might could show that before the season's done. This may just be a little bit of a process here where they have to kind of really work to figure themselves out a little bit.
I was listening to the podcast yesterday, BA, and you were talking about how programs sort of have, like, in their program story, there's chapter breaks, I think is how you put it. Like, certain games are kind of chapter breaks, and this game is that. Let me ask you just about...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
About what happened for Alabama on Saturday night and their new coach in game four and all that kind of stuff. Like, what do you think that was for them and that program from an Alabama Kalen DeBoer perspective?
So this is going to come across as sour grapes, so please understand, I don't mean this in any way related to Georgia whatsoever. Georgia may not be the team that exploits this, but I'm telling you right now, Nick Saban would not have given up a four-touchdown lead. He just would not have. And so when you're the winner, you get to write the history. And right now, Alabama's writing this history of how great they are and the fact that Kalen DeBoer is picking right up where Nick Saban left off. I know for a fact that Nick Saban would not have given up a four-touchdown lead in his own stadium and seeing Georgia take the lead the way that it did. So I would invite everybody to just sort of file that away. And it doesn't have anything to do with Georgia. Georgia may be nowhere to be found when this comes back to haunt Alabama. But it's one of those deals where if you're really, you know, rock solid and if you're really locked down, you don't go to sleep in the second quarter and just let a team like that, who, as I said before, I don't know that Georgia played outstanding during the comeback, but the comeback still took place. I'd be very careful if I was an Alabama fan making too much of it's a thrilling game. It puts everybody in a good mood. But I don't know that was a great performance from Alabama on Saturday. The kind of thing worth remembering if we see them, you know, maybe kind of fall prey to the same issue later on this season at some point.
It's also something that his teams have dealt with. Now, they've win the games. They win, but I watched five Washington games last year that had that same type of story where great start, great game plan, saw something on tape, exploited it, got out to a huge start, and then kind of slowly but surely did it, like could have won the game by three touchdowns, maybe should have won the game by three touchdowns, ended up needing a drive in the fourth quarter to win the game. You know what I mean? For whatever reason, I don't know what that is, but that's something that has happened with Kalen DeBoer teams. Now, again, they win them. They still win them. So it's like,
what's the point,
you know, they almost don't, but they still do. So I don't skin of his teeth,
I
suppose.
I'll say like this. A football game, especially one like this, there are so many moments. And some of the moments that hide in plain sight end up being the ones that matter most. Alabama's vulnerability after building a big lead. If I'm a Crimson Tide fan, I should probably pay more attention to that than I probably am right now because everybody feels great after a win. But things hide in a win, and that may have been hiding for the Crimson Tide a little bit on Saturday night.
B.A., we appreciate it.
Appreciate you, B.
Thank you.
Always great to be with you guys. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.